Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Amen. Go ahead and take your seat. Like I mentioned to you, it's really important for you to understand that you've been conditioned. Conditioned to go to church and do nothing. Listen to somebody preach a Reader's Digest suggestion that makes you feel good. Or maybe some church where a man wears an ecclesiastical glorified robe. Maybe throw smoke and incense and water all over you. And you leave that place and you say to yourself, well, I did what I'm supposed to do. There's a whole lot more that God is requiring of us than just go to church and sit and stare. And like I said earlier, you're going to have to pay attention. Your life and your future is at stake if you will understand these principles of the Word of God. Today, I want to share with you, and I'm going to read a verse to you first, then I'll give you the title for those of you that are making notes. But let's go, if you will, back in the text to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, a little verse. This is our third hour on this little verse of Hebrews, the 30th verse in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I'll have them put it up on the overhead for us. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. When you read that, you know, most of you, what's going on. Some of you don't understand it at all. Pastor Dan did a phenomenal job in bringing us a message on the walls of Jericho, and Pastor Luke did also. But today I want to say something to you. This verse is saying something that is amazing. And sometimes the God that you have come into this place to hear from says more by not saying something than he says by saying something. You're going to have to understand as we look into the depth of what's going on here, it's more than just a people following God, marching around, if you will, in impregnable walls of a city and come tumbling down. I find when I read this that it just boggles my mind. What boggles my mind is not just the fact that this happened. And it's true, archaeologists have actually dug in this area and they have found bones and skeletons that have been compacted and squished. They estimated some 50,000 people that were in this city. Let me tell you the story real quick, if I may, so that you can understand how it applies to you. Because God is saying something in that verse to you today. Can you imagine that? But let's see what God is saying. The story is about the children of Israel. You know the story about them. They were about 400 years in bondage with the Egyptians. They didn't know how to do anything except how to be slaves. They had a slave, if you will, mentality. They couldn't get past, if you will, themselves. They knew how to exist for 400 years. They knew how to plant their little gardens behind their little shacks that they lived in. They knew how to serve, if you will, Egypt without getting a snot beat out of them on a regular basis. They were typical, if you will, slaves that had a slave mentality. And then God brings them out by Moses. If you remember, they crossed the Red Sea, and God wants to take them to a promised land. One that were hundreds of years before that God promised. But he doesn't take them directly into the promised land. He could have, in 1 week worth of marching, he could have taken them directly into the promised land, but he doesn't. He leads them into a place called the wilderness. Why the wilderness? What's going on? Why didn't you take them directly to the promised land? The wilderness was a place where they were going to learn how to be people who received and fulfilled the directions of God. without receiving and doing the directions of God, your life will fail in the promised land. And God wants you to know that He has a promised land for each and every one of us that are in here today. More than you could ever imagine, abundance beyond your imagination, that God wants to take you to your personal promised land. But before you get into that promised land, like the children of Israel, you're going to have to learn how to take directions from God and follow God. You say, what's so difficult about that? Here's what's difficult about it. It's you and me. We get in the way all the time. A lot of people don't understand this, but let me just share the principle with you, if I may. It's as simple as this. You see, when God brought them out of Egypt, brought them into the wilderness, they had nothing else but themselves on their own mind. They had learned how to make up their own mind about things. They made their own mind up about Moses. They made their own mind up about God. They made their own mind up about the journey. They made their own mind up about how what kind of food to eat, what they needed, what they didn't need, what they could do, what they couldn't do. They had an idea of how it did. And if the life didn't work the way they thought it ought to work, then all of a sudden it couldn't possibly be God, when in fact it was God. And we're the same way today, thousands of years later. God wants to take us somewhere, but we have not learned how to take directions from God. And we have not learned how to do what He tells us to do. Can you imagine what your life would be like if you heard God give you directions and you followed them? There'd be no poverty in your household ever. There'd be no lack in your household ever. Why? There'd be no sickness in your household ever. Your business would be amazed. Your investments would never be the wrong investments. Your marriages would have been the right marriages. Your children would have grown up all because of the direction of God to serve the Lord all the days of their life and become a witness of your greatness. If you just simply got direction from God on how to do life, where to go, what to do, and how to fulfill it. If you simply just got direction, life as you know it and I know it would completely change. But something always stops this direction process from God. I found over the years that when God speaks and gives you directions and you ignore them, guess what? He doesn't speak to you anymore and you wonder where it's God. And you come up with a bunch of plans hoping God would get involved in them, and He's not involved in them at all. All you had to do is go back to the plan when He spoke to you about it. I find it oftentimes that people in churches don't realize where the breach ever came from God, that we don't any longer receive direction from God. We come into the house of God and we worship. We come into the house of God, raise our hands and our hearts and our lives, and we sing. We sing praises to His name. We quote the scripture. But when it comes to actually making a decision based on His direction, we have a really hard time with that and have for thousands of years. In fact, since the beginning of time. Let me tell you what happened with the children of Israel that you can understand. They're no different than us. I find that there was in the beginning, in Genesis, the very second chapter, God comes to Adam. And He says to Adam, Adam, of this entire garden, you can eat all you want. From all of these different trees, you can eat. But this one tree, it's the tree of knowledge of good and of evil. Do not partake of that tree. When you do, you will die. The story goes on that from his side, he pulls Eve. Eve is confronted with satanic principle who spoke to her and said, oh, you can eat of that tree, you'll be like gods. You won't die. She ate of the fruit. He ate of the fruit. All of a sudden, there's death. Not physical. but spiritual death. The spiritual death came by separation from God. When they had a separation from God, they no longer heard from God. The very first thing they do is now make decisions for themselves. They now are aware of their condition. They now clothe themselves. They now decide for themselves. And from that day on until this day, we humans like to make our own decisions, have our own ways, do our own decides. We figure out, we calculate, we gather data, we come to an accumulation of thought, and then we process that thought, whether it be right or wrong, and we decide for ourselves what is right and what is wrong, therefore misleading us to where God would have us to be. All because it goes back all the way to the garden. So Jesus comes, sets us free, but he doesn't just drop the abundance on us. He says, now you have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you to receive directions from me, and the ability by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you to fulfill what it is that I call you to do. And we're back at square one all the time, making decisions for ourselves. That's why in Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 5 and 6, says, lean not to your own understanding. Then it goes on and says, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will, and I love this next word, direct your paths. I'm going somewhere, I need you to direct me. I'm going to go somewhere, I need you to direct me. If you don't direct me, I'll direct myself. If you don't direct me, I got a government that'll direct me. If you don't direct me, education will direct me. If you don't direct me, my goodness God, then my family will direct me. Instead of getting our directions from God that lead us to blessings, we got our directions from our own selves, thinking about how we should do things. Now, here's the problem. We all live in a world where right is wrong, wrong is right. You know it and I know it. Anything that's wrong is exalted as right. Anything that's right is put down as hate and wrong. And all of a sudden, the whole thing's messed up, so we can't figure it out for ourselves. We need the direction of God. I want to tell you about a friend of mine so that you can understand this. By the way, first, before I tell you about my friend, let me give you a title to the message. It's called Receiving Direction from God. One of the most important things you'll ever have. Because here's why. Your future depends on the direction that you get from God. It does not depend on how smart you are, talented or gifted, whether or not you're educated or not educated. The level playing field for all Christians is God. So, with that in mind, let me tell you about, if I may, a friend of mine. Her name is Harriet Tubman. For most of you, you don't know Harriet Tubman, so I'll put her picture up for you. And let me tell you the story which makes her so amazing, if you will. And I'm so proud to be an American and so proud to be a Christian because of Harriet. Harriet was born in the early 1800s into a slave home. She was a slave. When she got old enough, she escaped, went to a free state, and got free on her own. Harriet was a lady that really trusted God in a mighty way. And she told God, she said, God, whatever it is you would have me to do, I want to do that. And God told her to go back and free other slaves. And this little girl by herself decides to go back and take slaves out of their bondage and bring them to free states. Hundreds and hundreds of them she leads out. The slavers are so angry about losing their slaves, they put a $40,000 reward to the person who would bring her in and capture her. 40,000 is like $10 million today. I want you to know that if somebody gave a $10 million reward for my capture, I wouldn't get out of this room today. And they were working to try to catch her, and they were working to try to get her, and they were trying to get Harriet at every turn of the road. But something happened. They would go back, and they were so angry, and they would talk amongst themselves, and they said, "We can't figure this out. We had the dogs on her. We had the people surrounding her. She was there, and it was as if she went into an underground road." And that's where they got the name Underground Railroad, because she was so amazingly able to get away from those that wanted to capture her and take back the slaves. Later on, we find out about Harriet that the reason she could do what she did is because no one, a man writes in those days that no one he knows of any color ever heard more clearly from God as to what to do than Harriet. She could hear from God. So every time she was escaping with slaves, God would say, "Stop, don't move, be quiet. Don't go there, go here, go to the left, go to the right." And all of a sudden, they couldn't catch her. Today, she's an American hero, and rightfully so. She's going to take Andrew Jackson's place on the $20 bill. And I don't know about you, but I'm proud to be an American. Amen. With people like Harriet. I can hardly wait to see her in heaven. I'm proud to be a Christian. But here's Harriet, depending on the direction of God for her very life. And here we come along hundreds of years later, and we do not depend on God for the direction of our life. We want God to get into our direction instead of us getting into His direction. Is anybody listening? And we absolutely, as long as you make the decisions for your life, here's what will happen. You might be successful, and you might become part of a group that, you know, where they give you Academy Awards for your accomplishments at the end of the year. But really, in the mind of God, you're but foolish. And God is looking for a people just like you, just like me, just like Harriet, who will get directions every day, stop and get directions from God every single day. Come on, somebody. And we lost that ability at the garden, but through the blood of the Lord, we now have the ability to get directions from God. We need to learn how to do it all over again. How wealthy would your business be? How great would your children be? How wonderful could your marriages be? How great if you got directions on everything before you did them? My, it's amazing. Well, with that in mind, let me share with you some principles that are so important on how, if you will, to receive direction from God. There are four little things that God gave me. Probably could have given me 40, but He gave me four. May I share them with you? These four things that God gave me are so simple that for some of you, it might maybe turn you off, but I hope not. I hope you realize that God loves you and He doesn't tell you to do difficult things. By the way, have you ever thought about why I went to that verse today? And what's so surprising about the verse? They're marching around, if you will, this compound, these children of Israel. The old generation that were naysayers and those that were depressed and discouraged with God and Moses had to die off. They were in the wilderness. For 40 years, they stayed in the wilderness when they were so close to the promised land. God even sent the spies in to check out the promised land. It was everything God said it was. And they came back and they said, "Wow, it's everything God said it was. All we have to do is get direction from God, follow God. God will open the door. God will make it happen." But they didn't do that. They had to all die off, and the next generation that came was trained to hear from God. And God says, let's see how you hear from me. I want you to march around this impregnable city whose walls are so thick that people live in their homes on the walls, that up on top, chariots have multiple lanes that they can run in around the city, and some 50,000 people live there. It's never been conquered. And God takes them for the first time, and he says to them, I want you once every day for 6 days to march around the whole perimeter. I want you to put your priests and those with their horns and their trumpets out in front, and I want you to shut your mouth and be quiet. And I want you to march around the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, until the seventh day. And then on the seventh day, I want you to get all of your horns and all the priests to blow their trumpets. And as they blow their trumpets, I want the people to hear the trumpets and shout with a great shout. And I will bring the walls down and it will crush everybody that is the enemy of Israel. Their first adventure towards the promised land is at this particular junction in their life. I ask God something most of you never really ask God. God, why didn't you just cause an earthquake? Kill them. Why don't you drop a star from the sky to eliminate that city? Why is it, God, that you couldn't open up the ground like you did with others and have it just swallow up the whole city? And God said this, I want to see if people will follow my directions. And we've got a whole book, Old Testament, New Testament, of crazy directions from God. For an example, have you ever thought about Gideon? He comes off the wine press. Here's all the, if you will, the enemies of Israel just stealing everything. And God has his army, and he cuts the army down to 300 on Israel's side. And here's tens of thousands of other people. He says, now I want you to do something. I want you to come against the enemy, the tens of thousands with your 300 people. And I want you to light your lanterns, and I want you to shout and blow your horns. How crazy is that? How insane is that? And he does, and they win. Have you ever wondered why a little boy from the hills of Judea with a sling is going to face a murdering machine by the name of Goliath when the whole army of Israel was petrified? How crazy is that? How crazy is it when God says, I want you to face the enemy, the problems that are against you. There's thousands and hundreds of thousands of the enemy, but I don't want you to do it with your soldiers. I want you to put your praisers and your singers and your dancers out in front of the army. And God defeats them with that. Oh my goodness sakes alive. Have you ever wondered why it is that God uses these bizarre stories? He's using them, guys, so that you and I can learn that when people take directions from God, God gets involved, no matter how crazy the directions are, and it gets done. There's no human possibility that you can march around the walls of Jericho and they come tumbling down, killing 50,000 people. That's insane. There's no human possibility. See, it's beyond our thinking. But when you're obedient, you activate the power of God on your behalf. And God's trying to show you, if they're doing crazy things, how much greater can God do in the simple things that I direct you to do? Is everybody listening? So important for us to see that, because really that's what this is all about. Four things that God gave me on how to receive direction from God. Number one is so simple. You got to be committed heart, because it's all about your heart. Everything's about the heart, my friends. It's not about just what you do. It's about what you do when your heart is behind it. Whether it be good or bad, wrong or evil, it's the heart that he's looking at. It's your very makeup, if you will, that gets you to this place, and it's called the heart. Will it be to follow God, to be with God? And there has to be a commitment to God. In other words, God is going to tell somebody who's not saved one thing: get saved. After you're saved, then God's going to direct your life. He's no more going to direct your life until you become his. And the first thing to this commitment is whether or not you're right with God. Whether or not you are a child of God. And you don't get there because you think you're a child of God. You don't get there because you celebrate Christmas or Easter. You don't get there because your mommy and daddy told you you were a Christian. Can I tell you something? You get there because of your heart, that you have given all of your life and heart to God. We'll talk about that later on. But the first thing, without the commitment, you will hear the direction of God and you will ignore it because it means nothing to you. Let me say it again. Without the commitment, you will hear the direction of God and you'll ignore it because it means nothing to you. Wow. So important for us to see that. The second thing that God would ask me to ask about your heart is this, that you would have a willing heart. You say, willing? What does that mean? I have got to have a heart that goes beyond hearing. I can hear and never do. Is anybody listening? I can hear and never do. And God wants me not only to get the directions, but have such a, a commitment to get the direction, but I also have to have a willing heart to fulfill the direction, because many times we hear, we don't do. And in order for you to fulfill what God tells you to do, a lot of times it's going to cost you a denial of yourself, of your thinking, of your flesh. Are you listening? Yeah. Of your ideologies and philosophies on how life ought to work. You're going to have to give up what you want because you want him more than what you want for yourself. It goes back to the commitment. But a willing heart is a heart that says, I don't want to just hear the directions. Let me say it again. A willing heart doesn't just say, I don't want to just hear the direction. Let me say it one more time. A willing heart says, I don't want to just hear the direction, but I want to do the directions. And that's where there's a breakdown oftentimes. And a lot of times it means no to what you want, but yes to what he wants. Even though what you want seems more logical than what he's requesting of you. You follow me? I just recently spent a long time, you know, I didn't want to retire. I felt pretty good in my 70s. Church was healthy and doing well. And then God spoke to me, and I can't say it was verbal. You know, very seldom do we get verbal things from God. I don't know very many people that have ever heard, per se, the voice of the Lord. Deborah did once, and that she needed to hear because God spoke to her when I was in front of her as a young man, messed up, and she said that God spoke to her about, I've called you to love that man. She needed to know that over the years being married to me. And that voice that was audible helped her to stay in there until things were right with the things that we were doing. And oftentimes we don't hear from the voice of the Lord. We don't hear words, but we have a settling on the inside of us that we know, that we know, that we know. And when it came time and God had settled on the inside of me to move on, not to leave the church, but just to simply retire and let the next generation come up so that we weren't a one-generation church, I had a hard time with that at first. But when God said, if you love me and you love the church, you'll do what I ask you to do, and you didn't have to ask me twice to do it. So I thought to myself, what am I going to do? I feel pretty good. I know what I'll do. I'll do what I've always wanted to do. You know what I really like to do is I really like to do business. I think I'll do business. And I believe that was my original prayer. God, let me do business, make enough money to fund the churches all over the world. I can do that. You're going to use somebody. Why not me? And I really thought it was business, but I started a little business and I started working at business. And God said to me, nothing. He would not give me a confirmation that that's what he wanted me to do. Every time I had a business meeting with people that were working for me, I kept telling them, we're going to go forward, but I want you to know that God has not given me direction to do this. And until I have direction from God to do this, I'm not going to do it. But we're keep going forward, and I kept looking for direction from God in my business, just knowing that he wanted me to do that. Well, I'd picked up a couple of big jobs, and we did the big jobs, and at the end of those jobs that we did, I had personally earned $650,000 cash in about a six-month period of time without even trying. For most of us in here, we would say, well, that's obviously God. But I knew on the inside it wasn't God. And I talked to God about it. And I said, God, I don't know what to do. I'm telling you, I do not have, even though there's all this money ready to give to me. They were ready to give it. We had done the work. The money was there in the bank, ready to give $650,000, between $600,000 and $650,000. And God speaks to me in the settling on the inside. He says, you did that without my direction, and I'm not involved in it. And he said, give it back. Give it back? I said, Satan, get behind me. That's what you would say. Then I started the negotiation process. How about if I give 20% back? How about if, he says, no more. Didn't give me any more direction. Give it back. Give it back to the church, and it wasn't. Give it back to the people that you did the work for. I told Debbie there was not a hesitation. Not a hesitation, because she knew that what I had done, I did on my own. And I needed direction from God to have it in the future. And I gave that back, all of it, within the last few months. All of it's back. Let me show you a verse, if I may. And I'm not saying that to anything except to make this verse become more alive to you. Matthew, if you go there, 16th chapter. Jesus is talking to his disciples. Jesus says this, if anyone desires to come after me, I want more than anything and always have. God, I just want to follow you. I just want to go after you, God. I don't want to follow man. I don't want to follow the way people do things. I don't want to be led by what we think is right or what we don't think. I just want to follow you, God. He says these words, let him deny himself. And when God spoke that, sometimes you and I have got to understand in that willing heart that we have that it's going to be, I'm giving up what I think I should be doing or what I think I want or what I have. I'm giving it up so that I might follow you. I don't want it in my own. Take up your cross. Can I tell you something? That was a cross for me to carry. And then he says, follow me. And then on top of all of that, he's now got me doing what he has spoken for me to do, which is the most boring thing I have ever been involved in my life. I can't do this. I bellyache all the time, but I'm faithful to do it. I'm sure that Harriet felt the same way. God, I'm doing something so insignificant. This doesn't mean nothing. It's just a few people in the whole world. Who's looking? Who cares? Nobody even acknowledges it. And here it is, 200 years later, she's celebrated as an American hero. You don't know who you're going to change down the road by just simply taking directions from God. We need to work at this. A willing heart is a heart that's willing to deny itself. A willing heart is a heart that says, I don't want to just hear the directions. I want to be willing enough to do them, even if it costs me me. Third thing God gave me is this, a focused heart. In order for you to get directions from God, you're going to have a focused heart. Let me tell you what I mean by that. There is every kind of distraction going to keep you from doing what God would have you to do. Is anybody listening? Because if you didn't get that, let me say it again. There is every kind of distraction that will do everything it can to keep you from doing what God has told you and directed you to do. Everything is going to try to stop you. Everything is going to come up. Children, business, job, finances, money, housing, cities, government. Oh my goodness sakes alive. Everything you can think of will try to stop you from doing what God has directed you to do. I'll give you a little illustration of this. The other day, I think it was Friday, I was at my desk in my office in my home writing. I'm hearing from God. I'm having a pleasure doing this 5-6 hours a day. I'm just simply hearing from God. You know, it's just an amazing experience. At times, it's very difficult for me because I'm not disciplined and I don't know how to do what I'm doing. What's that got to do with following the directions? You think directions just come to people who know what they're doing? The whole purpose of getting directions is God comes on the scene and gets you done, gets it done for you. He's not talking about what your talent or gifting is. He just wants to know whether or not you will march around the walls 7 times. And see, as crazy as that is, then it's God that comes in and knocks the walls down. So here I am doing something I am not equipped to do and have no idea how to do. Thank God for Siri. Siri, can you please help me spell the? The, T-H-E. So I had to change her voice to a man. She was driving me nuts there for a while. And so here, I'm learning how to write. And I'm talking about everything coming in to distract you. Keep that in mind. And out of the corner of my eye, I notice a beautiful flower in my front yard. If you've been to our house, Debbie's got a billion flowers everywhere. And this flower is gorgeous, and it's not moving. It's just there. And all of a sudden, the flower starts shaking. And I'm going, what is that? There's no wind. And the flower stops, and I go, wow. Do I have this Superman power that I can look at a flower and it starts to shake? Maybe I should take this power to Las Vegas with a dice or something, you know? I mean, that's where we're all screwed up, you know what I mean? We're all messed up this way. And so I look at it again and the flower shakes again. I go, there it is. And I went, oh my goodness. And then the flower went in the ground and out of sight. And I said, that is a gopher. I hate gophers. So I know Debbie's not home. So I do what any rational man who's drawing from the knowledge of the tree and of good and evil would do. I go in and get my gun. Now I have this little rifle, this one that's just a rifle, and it shoots 22 bullets, longs and shorts, but I have shorts. You know, not, shorts are just like, pfft, no big deal, you know? To Debbie, it's a big deal. And so I'm crawling out on the front lawn, and I stand up with his rifle, and I got it like this, he's out there, waiting for him to stick his head up. I'm sitting there for 5 minutes, and I say to myself, I need to cock it. When I cock it, it'll make a noise, and he'll hear it, and he'll be gone. So I'll cock it now. I better lift it up, because if he sees the movement. So I'm standing there, my front lawn. 10 minutes goes by. My legs are starting to shake. And all of a sudden I realize
what are my neighbors going to say? Oh my God, they're gonna call the police. You know, when you get caught with a gun in your hand with a police officer in front of you, you are dead meat. First thing you do is drop it and go like this. And I'm thinking, that's it. I don't know what, and then I hear the voice of God. It wasn't a voice, it was just inside, tells me, and you're just distracted. And I want you to use this message on Sunday. Tell the people how distracted you were over a gopher, which wasn't a gopher, by the way, it was a mole. So I call my friend Federico Martinez. I don't even know if he's here. He does my gardening. I said, Federico, can you help me? In 1 hour, he had that sucker caught and dead on my land. Now here's my point. My point is everything will try to keep you from doing what God directed you to do. Every little thing will come your way. Whether it's a gopher or a mole, whatever it is, children, kids, everything, you're going to have to sit down, turn it off to get the job done. Is anybody listening to me? In fact, can I just say this to you? There's a war going on to try to stop you from doing what it is God's directing you to do. In 2 Timothy, just put it up, in the second chapter, verses 3 and 4, it says, you therefore must endure hardship. Man, that gopher was hard to me. My legs were shaking. That was hardship out there. You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Watch this. Verse 4. Watch this. No one engaged in warfare, you will be in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Can I say something? Stop it. When God gives you direction, that's your primary function. That's what you do. Everything else will just be carried. You say, well, I have to do this stuff. Can I just say something? Wait a minute. Since when do you have to do anything? Will God not take care of the stuff? Do what God says, and He'll take care of this stuff. That's why the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and then all these things. But first things first, God's direction. He says that you may please Him as an enlisted and a soldier. So the third one is that you need to have a focused heart. And I love number four. Number four is kind of cool. You need to have a faith filled heart. Faith filled means this. I just believe God can do it. Amen. I can't do it. I'm not smart enough. I'm not gifted enough. I don't read good enough. I can't spell a thing. You can read my writing, but why try? There's the wrong words in there. I mean, I am a mess. But God, who takes the mess and adds Himself to it, makes a message. Come on, somebody. And here's the point. The whole point is, you can't do this. In fact, if you try to do it and think you can do it, you've just voided out the power of God. Let me say it again. If you try to do it on your own and you think you can do it, you've just voided out the power of God. Can I tell you something? If you could do it, why do you even need God? See, that comes from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, that kind of thinking. But I've seen other people successful. Sure you have. They've made lots of money. They've had big corporations. They have wonderful things going on. That's why a lot of them go out and kill themselves, because they have no fulfilled life. Because there's a whole lot more to life than money and business success. Can I tell you something? There's a whole lot more than that. And that's why so many people fail in our economy nowadays, because they don't realize what real wealth is the very presence of God giving you directions day in and day out, and it'll do something. And faith-filled means that. Jesus is confronted by this centurion. A centurion's a soldier, for those of you who don't know. And the soldier has a servant that he loved very much, and he said, my servant is really sick. He's going to die. Jesus looks at the centurion, Roman soldier, and says these words to him. He says, listen, I will come and heal your servant at your house. The centurion says, no, stop. You don't have to come. You don't have to come to my house. I'm a man under authority. I know authority. When you speak, everything that's underneath you operates. Therefore, just say the words only, and my servant will be healed. Jesus is like, You gotta be kidding. I've been looking everywhere for you. Where have you been? I haven't found this kind of faith anywhere. And today, if he searched the world, would he find that kind of faith that says, oh my goodness, God is just here. He can do this. He can get this done. I mean, how much faith do you have that the walls are gonna fall down? Huh? How many times you have to dip in the river? How crazy is that? You want to get healed of leprosy? Go dip in the Jordan 7 times. Insane. Why do that? To see if you're going to take direction from God. And then God comes through on the crazy stuff. So here we find God's response. Jesus' response to the centurion. He says these words. He's just blown away. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. And as you have believed... Precious, hear me. As you have believed, if you put your thinking in there, it pollutes your belief. Yeah. That's why every time I hear the History Channel that hires some PhD in theology from some big time name university, and these guys have no idea about God, but they pass the tests and read their things, and you'd think they would know better, but they don't. And here's the Discovery Channel, History Channel, trying to tell you about how David took out Goliath, or how the walls fell down by loosening the foundation. What a bunch of bull. Let me tell you something. God is a God of miracles. That's how he gets you saved, and how he's gonna fulfill the directions. And the same thing goes, it says, and as you believe, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Four things this morning, or this afternoon now. Four things. Number one, you have to have a committed heart. If you haven't yet been born again, salvation, but you know who Jesus is, obviously, in your head. That won't get you to heaven. First thing, if you want directions, he's going to give directions to those that are committed to him. Secondly, you're going to have a willing heart. One that says, hey, I want to hear the correction and direction, but I also want to do it. I want to fulfill what he says. The third one is a focused heart. I'm not going to do anything except not be distracted from what God would have me to do. And fourth, my friend, is to have a faith-filled heart, because it's very important for us to hear from God, even in the small things, as to what to do. If God spoke to you today, give him a great big praise. You hear that?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.